Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, I'm going to veer off of our John study. We'll pick it up next Sunday. Just a thought this week as I was just influenced by several things that happened this week. And one of the things I sat down to do this last week was to read a book that was written for widows. And I've just really been looking for some good material to help to give to our widows or widowers who are struggling, and they do. I mean, it's just amazing how I think some of us take for granted that someone who's been married for 50 years, just the hope of heaven will get them by, you know. But and that's true, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But our widows and widowers need just encouragement and strength, and so just kind of looking at some material on that, and just influenced this week by the subject of heaven. Influenced this week by a program that I happened to come across, and probably should have turned it after I heard him making fun of Christianity. But you almost have to turn every program off. No, just kidding. It is true. It's just become rampant of those in Hollywood and others making fun of Christianity, making fun of us who believe in a, you know, 7-day literal creation. Those of us who believe the Bible, as it says, that the earth was created in 6 24-hour literal days by Jehovah God. I need some amens now. That's what the Bible says. Those of us who believe, if you believe the Bible, the first 11 chapters of the Bible, believe in an early earth, that the earth is not 7,000 bazillion years old. And there are many even scientific evidences of that as well. And that's one subject I enjoy studying. And as I hear them make fun of, I came across this a few weeks ago. A person told me that he doesn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that there are many ways. We live today in a pluralistic society where all roads lead there, and if you believe otherwise, you're not politically correct. And so I just want to again think about this morning a subject we don't preach on very much. Now, I preached on this particular passage a few months ago on the entire passage. Today I want to take a more of a textual type message and preach to you on the subject of heaven and hell. And just a reminder, there is a heaven. Amen. A glorious place that the Lord has prepared for us who are saved, those who have accepted Him as Savior. But let me tell you, there's also a hell that was intended and was created for the devil and his angels. And now because of man's fallen, because of man who fell, the man who sinned, Adam, the first Adam, that now all are dead. And therefore, under the wrath of God, under the penalty of sin, which is death, hell, and the lake of fire. Now, I still believe in a place called hell. I believe in a place called heaven. Both are real. Look here with me in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And I told you last time that word marveled, Jesus did that twice in the New Testament. But imagine that, marveling at this man's faith. "And I say unto you," verse 11, "that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed the self same hour." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity to stand and preach your word. I pray today you'd hide me behind the cross. And God, this subject that is many times laid aside, we pray, Lord, today as we pick it up, you'd help us, Lord, to send forth its truth. Lord, I understand and know that I'm simply the teacher. The Holy Spirit gives understanding. We pray, the Lord, the Holy Spirit would give understanding and insight this morning. Pray that you'd help the hearers to be attentive this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament, and hell, or judgment, are referred to and described 234 times out of those chapters, 234 times, almost every chapter. If we were on a highway 260 miles long, and on this highway there were 234 signs warning of danger, surely we would have the brains to seek out another road. I mean, 234 times the New Testament warns of judgment, warns of a place called hell. And so therefore, we ought to take heed to it. Billy Sunday once said, "You will not be in hell 5 minutes until you believe there is one." Just as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. We see here in the Scripture, and the context here is that a centurion came to Jesus, whose son was very, very sick. The Bible says he was grievously tormented, sick of palsy. And he asked him to heal him, and the centurion said, "Lord, you don't even have to come to my house. Just say the word, and he'll be healed." And Jesus was taken back. He marveled at that kind of faith. That just say the word, Lord, just say the word. Speak the word there in verse 8 only, and my servant shall be healed. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled at this great faith that was seen. As we look at this great faith, he goes on to display and tell us insight into heaven as well as into hell. In verse 11, he says, "And say unto you, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." There is a place called heaven. Here we have three descriptions of it, which I shared very briefly with you in the last message, and intend to give you a little more insight this morning. First off, we see he says that many shall come. Let me tell you that the place of heaven will be many. Many shall come and sit down. The Bible says in John chapter 14, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The Bible says he's making many mansions. Isn't that wonderful? I get to heaven, I'm not going to be there by myself. Amen? I'm not going to be there by myself. There's going to be a multitude of people there. A multitude of people there. People in heaven will come from everywhere, the Bible says here, from the east and from the west. Also people from the east and the west, as we think about it, spiritually speaking. In other words, I'm glad today that God is not partial. That God is not, He sees no color. That God sees no social status. God doesn't see rich or poor. That all can come to Him. As we think about it again, the Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He doesn't just love rich people. He loves poor people. He loves all sorts of people. He loves everybody. Amen. Multitudes shall come. Many shall come. From the east and from the west. Black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He loves everyone. We think about that He's not willing to draw all men unto Him. And listen this morning, a multitude shall come. Well, what a day that will be. A multitude shall come. We think again about spiritually speaking. I've had several people tell me, "Preacher, I just don't know that the Lord can save me." He said, "You don't know what I've done." You know, "Preacher, I've lived a terrible life. I just don't believe the Lord will save me. Lord, I did some terrible things, and I've done some terrible things. I just don't know the Lord can save me." And I always remind them and give them biblical examples of people that Jesus Christ has saved, who's done terrible things. And the biggest one is the Apostle Paul, who was an instrument of murder, who was an instrument of zealous instrument of tearing the church down and persecuting the church. And yet the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. And the Lord met him on the road to Damascus and saved him. Gloriously saved him. Listen, if he'll save the Apostle Paul, he can save anybody. Again, he's not willing that any should perish. Many, many shall come and sit down. Multitudes shall come from the east and from the west. Yes, all colors, all stripes, but also all sorts of people. Maybe the drunk who has accepted Christ as Savior, the murderer who's accepted Christ. Well, preacher, you believe in jailhouse religion? Absolutely I do. I know a man who got saved in Philippi in the jail. Amen? I tell you what, I do believe in. I absolutely believe. I believe a man can be saved on his deathbed. I believe a woman can be saved on her deathbed. I believe it. Simply trusting and putting your faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, trusting in Him and Him alone, and you get saved. And listen, multitudes shall come. Those who may have been of ill repute, a prostitute. Jesus Christ saved He saved the woman at the well. He'll save anybody. Amen? I tell you what, can that good reminder to us as Christians, we better be careful who we look down upon. Because that person may be sitting next to you in heaven. You may have to apologize. You know it? Boy, we had to be careful. Oh, multitudes, many shall... Can I just tell you again, we're not going to be there alone. It's not just going to be Baptists in heaven. I'm telling you, we better be careful. There'll be a few Methodists there as well. Yeah? Better be careful. Some of them non-denominational folks will be there. You know? We can go into that. I'm just telling you, it's just not going to be Baptists in heaven. It's those who have been saved. Those who put in their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll beat the Methodists to lunch. And the Presbyterians to lunch. But there are going to be many in heaven. Again, let me clarify. Yes, those of other denominations who believe in baptism to save them, they won't be there. Those in other denominations who put their trust in their church or put their trust in a man or put their trust, any other man than Jesus, by the way, who put their trust in their good works, they won't be in heaven. But let me tell you, it won't be just Baptists in heaven. Many shall come, sit down. All will be in heaven. The rich, the poor, the drunkard, the harlot. I want to tell you, we have a world today of great immorality going on around us. But I'm telling you, God is loving and gracious. He'll save anybody. He'll forgive anybody. That's really the crux of it. He'll forgive. The problem is forgiveness. The problem is sin, and we need forgiveness. And Jesus Christ will forgive anybody and place them and give them a home in heaven. Many will sit down. Listen, we could just spend more time here thinking about Bible characters in Old and New Testament whom God has saved. Richly and blessed and great, great, wonderful illustrations for us. The Bible says, and many shall come and from the east and the west and shall sit down. Again, there'll be multitudes in heaven, but they'll come and sit down. And I, as we've said before, this is a great picture of heaven for me and for a lot of you. And shall sit down. Sit down. That means rest. I don't know about you, but we live in a world of work. Maybe this is the best picture of heaven. You know, the alarm clock won't go off anymore at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning, right? Some of you can definitely, definitely get into this one, you know. The alarm clock won't go off. You think about, as a kid, again, many of you know that my grandparents had a farm, and we took a lot of time in the summers on that farm, and I'm so thankful for that. And having the opportunity, as I look back on it, it wasn't so great then, but having looked back on it to see, you know, to have hauled hay. There's just nothing quite like hauling hay. And back then, it wasn't none of these round bale stuff. It was square bales. There wasn't any conveyor belt coming up on the trailer. I mean, it was picking it up out of the field, throwing it on the trailer. It was hot. It was yucky. My pawpaw got into doing peanut hay. And it was some of the worst, because you pick one up, it might have 70 pounds of sand in it. You know, and it was real strawy, you know, and it would just scratch you. By the time you got back, you had scratches all over you. It was just, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Listen, I know some of you in this room have worked a lot harder than that. And physically speaking, and have done some things. You know, I talked to my dad who hauled hay for a living all summer long one year. when he was just out of high school. All summer, 3 months of hauling hay. I did it for a couple of weeks. You know, one time me and my dad and my brother, my dad usually got 4 to 6 weeks off from work. I don't know how that happens. Paid. Anyway, but sometimes he didn't have enough money to go on vacation, so he'd spend 2 or 3 weeks working somewhere to make the money to go on vacation. And 1 year we roofed houses for 2 weeks or three. And that was work. And back then, when I was a kid, you didn't hire somebody to come roof your house. You roofed your own house, you know. And just a lot of work. You think about that kind of physical labor. And again, some of you worked a lot harder than that. No more. A land of rest physically. But think about a land of rest as far as it pertains to relationships. Because there's no selfishness in heaven. There's no more tension in relationships. There's no more housewives. There's no more yelling at the kids. I'm sorry, all wives. No more having to, you know, strangle the kids by the neck, put your foot on their neck. All that's done. No more of that. If we sat here, we could all come up with a lot of stuff that's not going to be in heaven that we don't like here on earth. Right? Land of rest. Land of rest. Many shall come and sit down. Sit down. Shall sit down. Rest. No more work. No more toil. No more sweat. Shall sit down and rest. Again, I think the physical part is really probably not the most prized part of heaven, but it is absolutely the relational and the emotional and all the stress and all the worry gone. No more. No more staying up night, you know, with anxiety and worry, thinking about a wayward child. Or no more staying up at night and thinking about a loved one who's very, very ill or sick. All that's gone. Can you imagine? And I know we should lay all those things at Jesus' feet. You absolutely ought to. Bring your burden to the Lord and leave them there. But most of us do not practice that as well as we should. And we go to our bed at night and we stay up at night and we have to take Zambien and whatever else that stuff is. I don't take it, but some do have to take pills because of the anxiety and the stress of life. All that gone. Now some take those pills for physical reasons as well. Let me clarify. I don't want the calls, okay, and the emails. But all that stress is gone. 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 Done. Another one of those sermons, I think everybody can raise their hand and say, I identify with that, preacher. I identify that. We'll sit down. We'll go to heaven. A great multitude will be there. We won't be by ourselves. And we'll sit down and rest. Rest. Rest a little while. There's a lot of songs I could sing there. Heaven of rest. Sail the wild seas no more. Then we'll sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Not only will there be multitudes in heaven, not only will it be a land of rest, but what company will be in heaven? And this is the area probably this week that I have spent most time thinking about. The company that will be there, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Think about Noah and Elijah and Elisha. And I still got a few questions I want to ask Enoch. You know, so many questions to ask. You say, preacher, I thought when we got to heaven, we'll know everything. I don't believe that true at all. I don't think you can find that in the Bible. Try to find it. It's not there. No, but we'll be learning all of it while we're in heaven. We'll sit down with Elijah and ask all the questions. Sit down with Moses and ask all the questions. Sit down at Jesus' feet and ask all the questions. And a lot of heaven will be about learning and hearing good preaching and good singing. Sitting down with good company. Sitting down with, you know, with my papa. I look forward to seeing him again. Amen. I look forward to that. I look forward to that. Sitting down with my grandma. Seeing her again. My great-grandparents on my dad's side. My two girls. Many of you loved ones there. All of us have loved ones there. There will be in heaven many. Many will sit down. Many will come. Sit down. A great company will be there. George Whitefield said this. He said, there will be many in heaven who were the devil's castaways. People you thought shouldn't be there are going to be there. Again, we better be careful. Luke chapter 14 says, and the Lord said unto his servant, go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be full. There will be a great company there. Everyone needs Christ. No matter the sin, no matter their status in life, no matter their color in this life, we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. Many shall come from the east and the west. Many, a great host of people. Again, God is not willing that any should perish. And shall sit down and rest. What a day that will be to have that burden lifted and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Again, we think about Ralph Crawford and many others that have gone on in our church to be with the Lord. We think about the various loved ones that each of us have who are there. And one of the great comforts that Paul speaks of in Thessalonians is that that Christ is too soon to return. And those who are dead in Christ shall rise up first. Then we which are alive and remain to be caught up to be with Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And He says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort each other in knowing that one day we will be reunited with those who've gone on before us. Those loved ones who have been saved and born again and are part of the family of God. We will see them again. And I'm telling you, I believe it's close. I believe if death does not take me physically, I believe heaven's my home soon. That Jesus Christ is soon to return. And I don't, you know, they make fun of us. And as Peter says, you know, many scoffers come around saying, where is the promise of His coming? You've been saying this for years. And He's coming again, you guys. Bunch of Christian hicks, you know. Bunch of Christians relying on your crutch of the Bible. That's what they say about us. This is a crutch, is what they say. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming again. And that we believe in absolute, the Bible teaches, in the imminent return of Christ. It could happen today. And when it happens, the Bible says we'll be changed. We'll have a new body, as we sang this morning, the quartet sang this morning. We'll have a new life. And no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. Rest. Our loved ones there, rejoicing with them. What a great time it will be. What a great day it will be. But some will miss heaven. It says in verse 12, but the children of the kingdom, this is talking about those who are lost, those who, and specifically here speaking of Israel, but applies to everyone, those who have not accepted Christ as Savior, those who rejected the Messiah and who are rejecting the Messiah, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, hell mentioned 234 times in the New Testament. I think anything mentioned once is important, but something mentioned 234 times is pretty important in the Bible. Some will miss heaven. Some who are religious will miss heaven. Again, broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to heaven. The Bible says many will come to Jesus and say, Lord, didn't I prophesy in Your name? You know, didn't I teach a Bible class? Lord, didn't I, you know, witness to my neighbors? Lord, didn't, well, I was a deacon. And Jesus say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's not about our works, people. It's not about what we do. It's about what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. It's not about what we do. It's not about who we are. It's all about who He is and putting our trust in Him. Some children of godly parents will die and find themselves in hell because of putting their trust in their morality or putting their trust in their parents' religion or putting their trust in their baptism or whatever it may be, instead of putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The unsaved, the Bible says, will be cast in the lake of fire. It says they'll be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is hell? Here's the Webster's Dictionary of hell. It is the abode of Satan and his fallen angels and a place of physical anguish for the impotent soul after death. I just want you to know that's a pretty good definition for Webster. That's pretty good. That's a lot better definition than some preachers would give now. If I mentioned a few names, I would get emails and letters. So let's stick with what some preachers say that hell is now. See, they've changed their message. They'll say to you that hell is simply a separation from God. Well, can I tell you, that is true, but that is not all. It is true. It is a separation from God. It's a separation from God in hell. A place of anguish, a place of torment. You say, preacher, you know, you're one of them fire and brimstone preacher, yes, because the Bible teaches it. It's not my opinion, and it's not my right to change the message of hell in a politically correct society. In fact, it's not my job, it's not my right to do so. I can't do that. The message is what it is. Luke chapter 16 is still in the Bible. The Bible says, and the rich man died and lifted up his eyes, and he was in hell in torment. Luke 16, go read it. It's still there. It's still in the book. It's still in the Bible. You can't change the Bible to reflect society. You can't change the Bible to reflect your ideals or my ideals simply because it's not popular, simply because it seems to many outside these doors to be not very nice. But it's true. Listen, God is a God of love, but He's also a God of justice. That means He's fair. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of wrath. We'll accept the love part, but what about the other? Hell is the opposite of heaven. The Bible says they should be cast into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If heaven is a place of light, then hell is a place of darkness. If heaven is a place of joy, then hell is a place of sorrow. If heaven is a place of singing, then hell is a place of tears and sorrow. If heaven is a place where friends will know each other and abide forever together, then hell is a lonely place where friends hate each other and suffer for all eternity. Hell is a lake of fire. It's a devouring flame. It's a bottomless pit. It's an everlasting burnings, a furnace of fire, a place of torments, where the curse of God go, a place of filthiness, where they can never repent, a place where they have no rest, a place of everlasting punishment, a place of blackness and a darkness forever, a place where they gnaw their tongues, a place where they breathe will be living flames, a place prepared for the devil and his angels, a lake of fire into which people are cast alive, a place for which the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, a place where they drink the wine of the wrath of God, a place where they do not want their loved ones to come, a place where they're murderers, liars, fearful, and abominable. That's hell. The Bible says those who have not trusted in Christ as their Savior, those who have not put their faith in Jesus Christ, those who have not repented of their sins and trusted in Christ and Christ alone, the Bible says they'll be cast into hell. They'll be cast into hell. They'll be cast into outer darkness. Matthew 13 says, and shall be cast them into the furnace of fire. I don't know about you, but that means they're forcibly thrown in there. It's a real place, folks. Just a reminder this morning. There is a place called hell, just as real as there is a heaven. And the rich man found himself there. And so will many others. Verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed the self same hour. Can I tell you, the only hope is Jesus. The same application in my last message I preached on this applies to this one today. The only hope is Jesus Christ. See, the centurion soldier said, Lord, speak only the word, and my servant will be healed. And he gave an illustration of it. He said, I tell my soldiers what to do. I tell them where to go, what to do, and they do it. And if you'll just speak the word, that's the centurion's word now, a soldier's word, a Roman soldier's word to Jesus. If you'll just speak the word only, my servant will be healed. And the Bible says Jesus marveled at his faith. Marveled. Well, what would Jesus say about our faith? Marveled at his faith. Boy, think about that. He marveled at his faith that he would just believe the word. Can I tell you, today it's simply believing the word of God. Having faith in the word of Jesus Christ that saves us. Again, we think about that individual who said, preacher, I just don't believe there's only one way. I just don't believe there's only one way. John 14 says, Jesus said Himself, I am the way. He didn't say He was part of the way. Listen now. He didn't say He was kind of the way. He said, I am the way, emphatically, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Jesus said, I am the way. At Thy word only. Jesus, if you just say the word, He trusted in the word of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, we must trust in His word. See, it's not according to your opinion. Your opinion may be that there are many roads to heaven. But that's not the word of God and what it says. You either believe the word and put your faith in the word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven and have a home in heaven, or you put your faith in your opinion and according to the Bible, you'll be cast into outer darkness and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heaven and hell. I hope today you put your trust in Christ. We're going to sing a little song here in a little bit and encourage those who may not have trusted in Christ to come to the altar. There'll be someone here who can deal with you and show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. And Christian, can I remind you that many will come, multitudes will come. We won't be the only ones there. We'll sit down and have rest there in that kingdom of God. And what a great company there will be there. Think about our loved ones who are there. Heaven is a wonderful, wonderful place. Wonderful place. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22, the Bible says, John said, and I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and there shall bring the glory and honor of the nations in it. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whosoever or whatsoever worketh abomination and maketh lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, that place called heaven, that place that Jesus has prepared for us is a place with no need of the sun. Jesus is the light thereof. And it says it's a place for all of those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Well, how do you get in the book? If you're going to be in heaven, you've got to be in the Lamb's book of life. How do you get your name written there? By repenting of your sins and placing your trust in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is our only hope. Our only hope. Faith in His Word. Christian, if you saw a house on fire, and you've heard this illustration 1,000 times, if you saw a house on fire, would you just simply stand there and say, I believe the operation of combustion is proceeding yonder? I messed this up, don't I? Let me just read it again. If you saw a house on fire over there, do you think you would stand and say, I believe the operation of combustion is proceeding yonder? Is that what you would do? If the house across the street was on fire, what would you do? Boy, you'd get over there and you'd be yelling and screaming, trying to get in the house. You'd be yelling, calling out, fire, fire, fire. Why? Because you want everybody in that house to know. And we know as Christians, there are many around us who are headed on the way to hell. The Bible has given us, Jesus Christ has given us the command to go forward and teach and preach the gospel to them and tell them of the place called heaven. Tell them how their sins can be forgiven and how they can have a home in heaven. Let's all stand. Hymn 534, Cleanse Me.